If you needed to feel better about your dysfunctional family, welcome to church. You've come to the right place. Because today's story is the final story in the book of Genesis, and it does not hold back. It is one of fathers who have favorite sons, brothers who sell their other brother into slavery, and having dreams of ruling over your entire family. Joseph's family makes all of ours look really healthy. Now, the story of Joseph is quite a saga in Genesis. It takes up 13 entire chapters, and though we would love to offer you time for a Sunday morning nap, we decided it was good enough to just read the bookends of the saga, the beginning and the end, because these bookends give us a glimpse into the family dynamics that propel this story forward. We get to watch this family work out some major issues in real time. It's like Bible reality television. And just like reality TV, it's often ugly. It's really painful, but it's real life. So we'll start at the beginning. In chapter 37, a place where lots of stuff happens and things seem to escalate really fast. In verse 4, it says that Joseph's brothers hated him for being the favorite son. 14 verses later, they're conspiring to kill him. A family systems theorist would have a heyday with these people. But beneath all the words of this story, all the facts and the plot lines, there are a lot of emotions. This family has big feelings. Resentment, confusion, envy, betrayal, jealousy, arrogance. Family has a special way of bringing all of these things out of us. But of all of these emotions, the experience that underlies the entire story, all 13 chapters, is grief. Joseph's story is about a family, a dad and brothers, who are grieving. And not always in the traditional sense, but often in the unseen, the unknown ways. The brothers hearing that Jacob's favorite is Joseph? That's grief. Grief that they're not loved or seen by their own father as deeply as Joseph is. Hearing about Joseph's dream that places him above the rest of the brothers, that's grief. Grief that maybe he's not one of them anymore. Maybe he's turned into someone else that we don't know. When the brothers sell Joseph off to the Ishmaelites, but Reuben and Jacob don't know that and think he's dead, that's grief. Grief of thinking you've lost a son. Grief of trying to save a brother and it not being enough. The beginning of this family story is filled with grief. It is oozing with unseen, untended to grief. And yet, no one dies yet. No one's dead yet. And there are still 12 chapters left of this story, and people are already tearing up their clothes and mourning. That's what makes this story interesting to me, is that it begins with grief. The story is propelled forward by grief. The family is led to their future home because of what grief has done to them, even when the grief comes out in troubling and painful ways, even if at first the grief tears the family apart. Still, we're reminded, us readers see, that it's only the first chapter of their story. There are still 12 chapters left. Unfortunately, those 12 chapters are filled with more grief. It doesn't seem to end for this family. Eventually, they will have to grieve their home because they are forced to move to Egypt due to famine in their land. Joseph will grieve the family he lost and the life he once lived when he ends up in jail in Egypt. And by the end of their story, the final part of our reading today, the brothers are reunited, they're back together, but they're grieving again. They're grieving the loss of their father, Jacob. They can't seem to catch a break. And after Jacob's death, the brothers realize Joseph has all the power now. He's the head of the family. And they wonder, what if he pays us back for all the wrong we did against him? What if he doesn't forgive us? Or maybe even, what if this grief tears our family apart again? Joseph has no intention of paying them back or getting an eye for an eye. Instead, in his grief, Joseph proclaims that God intends good for this family and that God's way is one of preservation, of wholeness of life. That even amidst all the grief this family has endured, all the loss that has come their way, God has brought about new life, healed their broken hearts, brought about wholeness to a family who was torn apart for years. Joseph's family story is one of how God is always leading us forward to new lives, to new beginnings, to wholeness, to reconciliation, even when we're in the throes of grief. Even when we cannot see the future. When we're not acting rationally because of the pain we're in. When our families are bringing out the worst in us. Maybe you find yourself at the beginning of Joseph's story, in the swirl of emotions that are making you do and say things that just aren't you. Maybe you're facing grief that goes unnoticed by the rest of the world because it's not a death, but you are still longing to be seen in your loss. Maybe you find yourself at the end of today's story. After the loss of a loved one, you and your family realized what was most important, and God came in and brought about wholeness in a miraculous way. But maybe you find yourself somewhere in the middle of the story, feeling far away from the happy ending, not knowing where God is leading you and your family, just in the muck of it, in the pain, dealing with the consequences of actions or inactions, facing the sting of all that family can bring up inside of us. As we approach this holiday season, I offer you this story of Joseph and his family. Because no matter where you find yourself in this story or what part of it most resonates with you, this is a story of how God is working through it all. That God has not abandoned you and your family in chapter 37. God is making a new way when it looks like there is no way. That grief, no matter how big or small it may seem, it's not the end of the story. It's the beginning. There are still 12 chapters left. And God will be with you through them all. Amen.